The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, rise and shine and on this chilly, chilly morn. And welcome now to the season of Advent, and welcome to a brand new year in our church calendar. Brand new year begins today, and with a brand new year, we're going to hear from a brand new gospel. We're going to hear the Gospel of Luke proclaimed all year long this year. And Luke is my favorite gospel because Luke's the storyteller of the New Testament. If you love Jesus' parables, you're going to love this year. Nobody gives us the parables better than St. Luke. This is the year you're going to hear the story of the prodigal son. This is the year you're going to hear the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know what else you only get in the Gospel of St. Luke? The story of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He's the only one who tells us about her. They say that Luke probably knew her personally, because how else could he have gotten this information when Luke alone tells us stories like the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel, and nobody else was there? She must have told him personally. Or the story of the visitation to her cousin Elizabeth. Only Luke tells us the story of Christmas. If you love Christmas, you can thank St. Luke. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't know the story. Okay? And not only a brand new gospel, but a brand new year, and it always begins with the season of Advent. And if I could accomplish only one thing with you here this morning, it would be to help you to understand what Advent is all about and why it's so important. Because, you know, some seasons of the year, they're easy to understand. You know, Christmas or Easter, everybody understands that, right? But then you come to the Advent season, you ask somebody, what's Advent all about? And it's a head scratcher. They're not quite sure. You ask somebody, what's Advent all about? And they say, I think that's when you prepare for the coming of the baby Jesus at Christmas time. That's what most people say. What's Advent all about? That's when you prepare for the coming of the baby Jesus at Christmas time. But think about that for just a second. That couldn't be true, could it? Because it doesn't even make any sense. How can you prepare for something that's already happened, right? I mean, Jesus has already come, and newsflash, he's not a baby anymore. He's all grown up. So what's Advent all about? It's a little bit broader than what most people think. Advent is the season in which we prepare our hearts to welcome Jesus Christ whenever and however he chooses to come to us and to this world. Because it's easy to miss. Very easy to miss. There's three ways Christ comes into the world. Three ways. The first was in history. He's born in straw, poverty, in a stable in Bethlehem. The second way Christ comes, we proclaim he's coming at the end of all things, riding on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. I had a man once, he said to me, I can't wait until Christ comes again, and I hope I get to see it, because I would just love to watch this poor, self-effacing, humble carpenter speak pure truth to the powers of the world
And I said, yeah, I'd love to see that too, but that's not the way it's going to happen. And he's told us clearly, when he comes again, he's going to come riding on the clouds of heaven, the executor of divine justice. That's the second way he comes. The third way Christ comes is he comes spiritually into every heart. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your background. He knocks at the door of every human heart. Now, when Christ was born in time, Bethlehem, most people missed it, right? Most people didn't know what was going on. Bible tells us, when he comes at the end of time, lots of people are not going to be ready for that. They're going to say to the mountains, fall on us. And they're going to say to the hills, cover us. Because I am so not ready for Jesus Christ to come again. You can easily picture that unfolding. Okay, but here's the most important thing. When he comes to us spiritually, most of the time we miss it. He comes knocking at the door of your heart 1,000 times a day. And we miss most of them. Why do we have an Advent season? To prepare ourselves to welcome him whenever he comes. We'll focus on it for 4 weeks, but we'll live this all year long. Okay? We always start Advent with these apocalyptic readings, like the one I just got finished reading, right? The sea and the waves are going to roar, and the nations are going to be in dismay, and the sun and the moon and the stars are going to fall from the sky, and people are going to die from fright. And what happens on that day when Christ comes again, riding on the clouds of heaven? Why do we read things like that? Why do we read things like that? You want to know why? The simplest reason is it's the church's primary mission to proclaim Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Just as an aside, you know what the church's mission is in the world? What's our job description? What's our mission? 3 things. Number 1, proclaim the word of God. Number 2, celebrate the sacraments. Give God's grace to everybody. Number 3, carry out the works of charity. And of those 3, which one comes first? Proclaiming God's word. We always proclaim Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. But practically speaking, one of the reasons we proclaim apocalyptic readings like the one you just heard is because when Christ comes, it's upsetting. It's kind of like a little apocalypse. One old world comes to an end, and a brand new world begins, and it's very, very disturbing. That's why it's so easy to miss, right? We think it couldn't possibly be Christ trying to come into our hearts. When Jesus was born into the world, most revolutionary thing that ever happened, we mark all time from the year of his birth. The only thing more revolutionary than that is when he comes again at the end of time. And note this well, it's no less revolutionary when he comes into our hearts. Now, he describes this as the sun and the moon and the stars are going to be shaken and they're going to fall from the sky. And I suppose, you know, someday, something like that, or perhaps even literally, is going to happen. And the way things are going in this world, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened before the end of the week. But still, I'd like to give you an interpretive lens, a metaphor, to help you to understand what that means to you, okay? What that means to you. Think about this. If you lived in the time of Jesus and he told you the sun, the moon, the stars are going to be shaken, you'd think of the sun, the moon, the stars as the fixed points in the world that help you get through life. They're among the first things God ever created back in the book of Genesis. The sun, the moon, the stars. What was the sun good for? It told you the time. Before you could look at your iPhone, you told the time by the sun. The moon marked the months. And the stars are the ways you got around before GPS. You navigated by the stars, fixed points that helped you to make your way through life. When Jesus comes, your fixed points are shaken. Now, all of us, every last one of you here, you're making your way through this life guided by fixed points, so to speak. For some people, it's the pursuit of money. For some people, it's the pursuit of being popular or the funniest guy in the room or, you know, the biggest and the best of everything. For some people, it's just finding the path of least resistance. Right? I just want the easiest of everything at all times. And the years come and go, and the world changes, and friends pass, and friends come and go, and your life constantly revolves around these fixed points. What we need to understand is that when Christ comes knocking at the door of your heart, your fixed points fall from the sky. An old world ends and a new world begins. So watch for it. For example, somebody, maybe they live their life pursuing almighty dollar. They're always trying to make money. Christ comes knocking at the door of their heart. What does Jesus say on the subject? Sell what you have and give to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And an old world ends and a brand new world begins. And the sun and the moon and the stars fall out of the sky. And it's sort of like an apocalypse, right? Some people, they seek popularity. They always want to be the funniest, or they always want to be... They always safely seek out whatever the majority agrees with, right? They always want to be in the in crowd, whatever it might be. And then Christ comes knocking to the door of their heart. And what does he have to say about the subject? Blessed are you when men shall hate you and persecute you and denounce you and utter every kind of evil against you, all because of me. All because of me. Be glad and rejoice. Your reward will be great in heaven. Let me tell you, an old world ends and a brand new world begins. All your fixed points come crashing down. A lot of people, the things they seek are perfectly good things. Some people, they say, you know, family first. Everything for my family. Nothing before my family. Listen, most of the time that's just fine. Most of the time that's just fine, except when putting your family first crosses swords with God's will. One of them has to win and one of them has to lose. And you can't be loyal to both. One's going to win and the other's going to go down to defeat. What did Jesus say about it? Anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And an old world ends. And a brand new world begins. See how easy that is to dismiss? He always calls you to sacrifice. He always asks of a death, so to speak. It's like a little apocalypse. Very easy to say to ourselves, oh, God isn't asking that of me. Oh, yes, he is. And you want to be watchful. You don't want to miss this. Because he becomes your fixed point around which everything else revolves. There was a book once, I read it just because of the title. The title of the book was Jesus Shock. It's by a professor at Boston College named Peter Kraft. Maybe you've heard of him. Jesus Shock. You know what the book was all about? It was about the idea that any time you ever come into contact with Jesus Christ, you walk away shocked. God is not a warm hug. God is not a gentle sunrise. God is an earthquake. And if you haven't been shocked, you haven't met him yet. Our God is a consuming fire, Deus ignis consumens. And if you haven't been burned, then he hasn't touched you yet. Jesus Christ was the only person in history who was never boring. And he's very easy to dismiss because of that. But because what he calls us to is so great, we want to be careful we don't miss that call. He calls you to what's going to become a joy and a peace that's so great, you can't even put it into words. You have to experience it to believe it. Can I tell you a little story on that point just for fun? Just for fun? Here at St. Teresa, we get lots of emergency calls all the time. But not so long ago, I got a particularly difficult emergency call. Had to go to the hospital. And it was difficult, well, because I had so much going on, it was very, very hard for me to drop everything and just go answer this call. I was going to have to reshuffle a bunch of stuff. And you know what? I was also just really tired, just really worn out. The hospital calls, and away you go. So I dutifully go and drive off to the hospital. And you go into the room, and there's this man, hours away from death. His wife is there, tears streaming down her face. Son is there, the daughter is there. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you forgive all of their sins. Jesus Christ himself, in the person of the priest, walked into that room, forgave this man's sins, gave him the apostolic pardon. By the authority which the apostolic see has given me, I grant you a full pardon and remission of all of your sins. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you say these words to a man who within a matter of hours is going to be in eternity. And they're so grateful. You can't even put it into words. They're so grateful for what you've done for their husband, their father. And you walk out of that hospital, and you're every bit as tired as you were when you walked in, and you still don't know how you're going to get it all done, but there's something going on deep down inside. And it's a peace, and it's a joy that you never could have concocted for yourself in all your life following your own plans. Then you realize what Jesus means when he says, I've come that they might have joy and have it to the full. Then you realize what it means. You don't want to miss this call. You don't ever want to miss his call, no matter how challenging it might seem. Because in the spiritual life, brothers and sisters, we're all beginners. You know that? We're all beginners. I don't care if you're holier than Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Because no matter how close you are to God, it's not anything near like as close as he wants to bring you. That's why we have to listen for his voice. So across these next 4 weeks, across this very brief season of Advent, this blessed time, watch, pray, and listen, that you might hear his voice and answer whenever he calls you. Because hearing his voice and answering whenever he calls you is what Advent is all about. Amen.